Hello, I'm Eric Olson with Smart Pot Fabric Planters, and this week our guest is Elizabeth Beek from Joy to the Earth Tree Farm, and they're growing evergreen trees in smart pots that are then rented to Atlanta area residents as living Christmas trees. It's a very cool business model, and we wanted to learn more about what they're doing. So, Elizabeth, welcome to the podcast.
Eric, thank you so much for having me. I've so enjoyed listening to the other podcasts and learning from everybody in this community. So thanks for letting me be here.
Yeah. We've kind of, been in communication in the past, and I'm really looking forward to learning more about your business. So what were you doing before starting the tree farm, and what inspired you to start it in the first place?
That's a great question. I would say I've always loved growing things, and I love growing in my community and with my community. I've had the opportunity to work on a number of different pieces of my community food system over the last, decade or so. And that ranges from working on a farm as a farmhand to, managing farmers markets, to helping with community gardens, to starting farms in hospitals or at restaurants. So I've had a bit of experience growing food. And then in the last 7 years, I served as the City of Atlanta Food System Planner. So I was part of the Atlanta Urban Agriculture and Food System team. And our mission was to cultivate a more inclusive and equitable and accessible food system for City of Atlanta residents, and try to ensure that we met a goal where 85% of residents in Atlanta would be within a half mile to fresh, affordable food. So most of my experience has been in growing food and community food systems before the tree farm.
Nice. Yeah, I know Atlanta has a lot of food deserts. So that's cool that, organizations are working to remedy that issue. So what was the startup process like for the tree farm, and how did you find land to grow trees in the first place?
I think this is such a great question, and I'm glad you're asking it. So I would say the startup part of it was a lot of research. I had heard from my sister about a company in London maybe 3 years ago that was doing a Christmas tree rental. And it just kind of like, it just kindled something in my heart, but we can talk about that later. But in terms of the startup pieces, I spent about a year or so just calling people that I knew who worked more with trees and doing research. And then I actually ordered the trees, and I was like, oh, I got to find land before this happens. And it was very clear to me that I was not going to be farming in the City of Atlanta. And the main reason for that is because when I worked at City of Atlanta on the Atlanta team, I ran a land access program that we started, which was open to residents and nonprofits and food entrepreneurs in the city to apply to adopt vacant, underutilized city land to start their own gardens, farms, and food forest in USDA-defined low-income, low-access neighborhoods. So I wanted to kind of keep separate from anything that I was working on with my community partners. So I began to look outside of the city, and one of the first people who said that that I could use their land was a little bit too far, and my mentors all said that I would quickly burn out trying to drive 2.5 hours outside of the city from my job and have my family. And so I began to look through another network, which I was with the Conservation Fund, and they have something called the Working Farms Fund. And they're working with a group of farms around the City of Atlanta, and I believe now in some other cities. I know Chicago and perhaps others. And they look for farms that are wanting to transition out of farmers who are looking to transition out of farming. They purchase the farm. They put a conservation easement on that land, so it always has to be used for agriculture forever. And that kind of makes the value of the land go down in some ways. And then new farmers can apply to that program and kind of lease to own that land. So they're working with a network of new farmers around the city. And I called one of them and I said, I'm doing this pilot. I don't know if it's going to work. I just need a little bit of space to try it. And do you know anybody in these networks of new farms that would be willing to let me lease or sublease a space within one of those farms? And the person I spoke with actually said, you know, why don't you come out and speak to us? And so I did a presentation to those farmers and they agreed to let me lease some land. And I'm so grateful for that process. They're kind of letting me incubate this idea out. And then I'll, of course, need to look for land.
Yeah, and you started in 2021 or 2022?
So I started doing the research then, and then I think I got pots from you guys last February. So I've only been growing since February of 2023, so just a little bit over a year. I did my first holiday season this Christmas.
Oh, very nice. How many trees are you currently growing, and can you describe your growing process? Like, you're not starting these from seed. I'm assuming you're getting small. Hold up my earphones. Jeez. I'm assuming you're getting small little starter evergreens. Can you just kind of describe your production process?
Yeah, you're exactly right, Eric. So in doing the research, people would connect me with somebody else I should speak to and somebody else I should speak to. And so I am using seedlings. I got my first batch through the Georgia Forestry Commission. They have a nursery. And then Seth Hawkins, who is with the Georgia Forestry Commission, who runs the community forestry program, had suggested some other native nurseries in the area that he recommended and trusted. So I kind of went with seedlings and used your guys' amazing pots. And that's been the start. And then because I was on a working farm, a lot of the other infrastructure was in place. Like, I'm out at Love is Love Cooperative Farm, which is a worker-owned organic farm outside, about 45 minutes outside of Atlanta. And they already have an electrical deer fence up, and they already have a well. So I would just have to buy the irrigation pieces to connect with their irrigation. And when I go out there, I'll just text Demetrius and say, can I get in the lineup to water today? and it being more of a startup, I think this is a good way for me to go because it lowers the cost. And in terms of the number of trees, I put in about 90 last year and another 70 this year. They're all still pretty new and babies, and I worked with about 20 families last Christmas to pilot it.
Nice.
Just see
nice.
If it worked. I'm starting small.
Yeah. How did you get the word out about your business and attract those customers?
That's a great question. So what did I do? I made some flyers. I put them up around my neighborhood. We have a neighborhood Facebook page. So I posted on there that I was trying this and that I would be so grateful if people wanted to do this with me and give me feedback and tell me how I could improve. And let's see. I would just wander around my neighborhood in town and kind of put things up. And for example, when I was wandering around, somebody who was the head of a school was like, you can come to our school and talk to the parents. So then Sejal and I, our 12-year-old, we'd go to the school with a tree and stand out while parents were picking up. So we did a lot of those things. It was very grassroots. And I would also say another really big and beautiful help was Love is Love Cooperative Farm. They're a larger community supported agriculture farm, and they sent out something to their CSA members and said, you know, we've got this new farmer incubating out of here. Would anybody in our CSA want to be a community supported forester as well? So people helped me get the word out.
Nice. And I'm just getting like questions popping into my head as you're going. How much are you charging for the tree rental? And then I guess, do you anticipate charging more as the trees grow larger over the years? How's that working?
Yeah, I'm still working out my business models. It was my pilot year, so I had two sizes, and I can't remember exactly how much they are. They're on my website, how much I did last year. I want to say the larger ones were like $75, and the smaller ones, like my little chicks, were like $35. That is going to change. My business model is changing as I'm growing and learning. I'm still figuring that out this year. Last year, it was more, can I grow these things? Which varieties work well? How do I do this? How do I distribute? How do I create a website? So this year, I'm really going to be updating some of those things based on lessons learned.
Nice. Those prices don't seem unreasonable, especially given the cost of cut Christmas trees. I would rather take a live Christmas tree any day of the week. So you're growing your trees in smart pots, like you said. Why did you choose smart pots over any other growing container or growing method?
For me, it came back to when I was doing my research. I have never grown evergreens, so I started reaching out to people that I trusted. So we had a project called the Urban Food Forest at Brown's Mill. And so I worked with people from the U.S. Forest Service, you know, Trees Atlanta, and some other people that just know trees, frankly, better than I do. So when I would speak to people about it, they would connect me to somebody else and connect me to somebody else. And somebody I worked with at Trees Atlanta connected me to the head of their restoration program, because I called them like, would you guys plant these, you know, at the end for me? And they're like, we do those varieties. You need to talk to our restoration person. And he said one of his concerns about getting the trees from me and planting them was an industry-wide problem in Georgia, where if they're in pots that many years, they become severely root bound, and there's the likelihood that they're going to thrive and make it through our kind of urban environment in a healthy way, that the trees will survive, goes down when they're in the pots. And his concern was, after these trees going back and forth, what were the root systems going to be like? And I said, well, how can I do something differently? Who can I learn from? Who's doing the best? And he connected me with Davis Dunbar with Redbone Nurseries, I believe, and said, you know, he's trying these grow bags, and we're testing them out with him to see if we can use them in our projects. And so I just Googled Davis and I called him, and he's a really busy farmer, like so many farmers. So I didn't hear back from him immediately. And he was probably like, who is this crazy person calling me? And meanwhile, I was just Googling. And then I think I found you and High Caliber, and I spoke with you. And then Davis had me out to his farm and has been a wonderful mentor ever since. And so that's really, I want to grow trees that are healthy and survive. And it's like, I've just heard from experts who are planting trees that going with your all's bags is the best way to do that. And I can say, after the first year, I got some smaller ones from Davis and I ordered some larger ones from you. And I'm taking off the smaller ones to like upsize some of those trees. And the roots are just beautiful, and they look so different than ones that I've seen implanted, you know, be it fruit trees or what have you from other nurseries, even vegetables. Like, the roots are just incredible. So that makes me excited, and that's why I will continue to use your product.
Yeah, appreciate those kind words, and shout out to Davis over at Redbone Nursery. I got to tour his nursery last summer, and he is wonderful.
He's such a nice guy.
We spent like 2 hours just chatting and driving around the farm, and I feel like I could have spent another 2 hours there.
Love him. Learned so much from him.
So you kind of touched on the end process for these trees. At what point do you think they're, I guess, retired and going to be put into a forest? Like, what's the time frame there?
I would say I'm still figuring that out. So I'm still learning how fast they grow and how healthy they seem. When I first spoke with Trees Atlanta, they had mentioned that, they have to be a certain caliber to be able to purchase trees using the City of Atlanta's Tree Recompense Fund for a lot of their restoration programs. So there's that piece, but I also want them to be healthy. So I'm still learning, but I do feel very confident that I'm going to be able to figure that out because I've kind of surrounded myself with a group of mentors who are, very good at trees that are willing to help me look at these trees and help me figure that out as the process unfolds. And also, it's not just that if this year, some of the feedback I got from families is they really just they fell in love with their tree and they wanted to adopt it and permanently put it in their house. And I'm like, half of the city of Atlanta's land is privately owned, and landowners can, planting trees and building up our tree canopy is very, very important and having that connection. So I think that's a really great option. So I'm looking at adding that this year because some of them felt very sad about giving their tree back. Some of them have come up to the farm and visited them and just feel okay with that.
That's such a great idea, like a rent to own option, because then that reduces like the labor that you need to go and pick those things up, and then you can just kind of expand your growing operation. I love that business model. What this is kind of like one of my last questions. What's been the biggest difficulty in getting this business off the ground, would you say?
The biggest difficulty, I mean, I would say I love growing. I think the challenging piece for me is also learning, how to run a business and set up websites and set up Shopify and all of those things. So, and Square and attaching credit cards. And I feel like that was my learning curve right before the season hit and just figuring out how I'm going to get the trees out and back and communicate with people. So I think I have more of a comfort in being with the trees in the field and doing that piece. And I'm really building my skill set right now and figuring out the business piece of it. And that's really fun. And I'm enjoying that this year.
A plant is a plant, but when you start a business, you got to wear many, many hats and figure that out quickly. So,
Right. I'm kind of a one-woman show right now. So.
how can Atlanta area residents get in touch with you and, maybe find you on social media and support your mission here?
Yeah, we would love to connect with more Atlanta area residents as we grow this season. So, one of the best ways is to go to our website, which is joytoearthtrees.com, and we have a sign up for newsletters. And I usually send out something like once a month, so it doesn't like overwhelm, but it also will invite folks out to the farm for farm tours where they can see the trees and learn more about this process. It also lets us know when adoption season is open. And there's just some really fun and sweet moments that happen out on the farm. And really, really wonderful people who have been a part of the pilot. So if you just want to meet cool people in the city of Atlanta who, are really a great community doing incredible things, it's a good group to join.
Nice. And then you're on Instagram, I
And I'm on
believe, as
Instagram
well.
at Joy to Earth Trees. Yes. So
Nice,
please,
nice.
yeah, please join us there. I need to do a better job posting there, but it's going to happen this year.
Yeah, that's just one of the hats that you have to wear is
Yes.
marketing and social media manager. So it's a juggling act.
It is.
Elizabeth, this has been really a pleasure getting to know you and to learn more about Joy to Earth Trees. And we definitely thank you for being a customer. And thank you so much for your time today and joining us on the podcast.
Thank you so much for including me, and I hope you come out to our farm and come visit Davis and I both when you're next time you're in Georgia.
Yeah, definitely. I'll make a point for that. So, until we speak again, thank you.
Thank you, Eric. Take care.